I hope you know that you're saved this morning. The Bible tells us we can know. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to hang on till the end and wonder if you're going to be saved or not. He said we can know. And if you don't know, you can have that assurance today. Amen. Hallelujah. If you would be turning to Ephesians this morning, Ephesians chapter 1, as we are continuing our series on the riches in Christ, the treasure of Christ, what we have in Christ. As I mentioned, I believe the complacency that is upon our nation, upon our churches in general, is just basically because we don't understand the value of what Christ did for us. And I think a lot of times we just allow our lives and this world and all the things in this world to take our view away from what God has done for us through His Son. Amen? And that's why we're looking at trying to dig into and uncover, open up the treasure chest, so to speak, and remind some of you just what value you have because of Christ. Amen? Amen. I know if Christ had not entered into my family's life, into my dad's life, my dad is a first-generation Christian in his home. And I was thinking, I was talking to my wife the other day, just about even the people in this building. You're the first-generation Christian in your house. And if Christ had not entered into your life, where would you be right now? Christ is what made the difference. Amen? And we just forget. We fail to remember. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter number 1. Let's go to verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Last week, you know, we looked at redemption and what that word meant and what it meant when Christ redeemed us. He bought us back. He owned us in the beginning by possession because He created us. If you create something, you own that. We sold ourselves to sin, the slave master of sin. And yet Jesus chose, before the foundation of the world, He chose that He would pay the price. And He bought you back after you had sold yourself to sin. You sold yourself under the slave master of sin, which we know is the devil who had deceived Adam and Eve in the garden, and he's deceived so many. We were sold to him. And yet Jesus said, I want to buy him back. And it cost him his blood. We looked at redemption and we could still keep stirring in that for a long time. Amen. Thanking God that He redeemed us. He bought me back because there was no way I could buy my way out of it. Amen. And then he says, the forgiveness of sins. And we've looked at the acceptance he shows, and that what the treasure is, that he accepted me, he adopted me in his family. That can't be reversed by any legal action ever, 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 ever. Nobody can take away the fact that you are now a child of God. It can't be reversed. Amen? I'm not going to rehash too much, but it's just, I tell you, when you start digging through the treasure chest, you know, and I see when your kids get something, and man, they get something new, and man, they're just continually looking back through it and reading. Why? Because it's just, wow, it's just new. And we've let the treasure of Christ, I'm afraid we've closed the lid and we've got on to other things in our lives, and we fail to just get back in and dig daily through what Christ means to me. Don't ever shut the lid on the chest of treasure that is in Christ. We're going to talk this morning about the forgiveness of sins. Now we know that by redeeming us, this is an act that comes from redemption, but I don't think we can just couple it together and actually give it its due. And this morning I just want to talk about the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins. The first thing you must understand, as we've looked at before, I don't have to dig too far in, we all must understand that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. Wow, only this side is sinners. Everybody over here is okay, I guess. No, 1 John said, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar and the truth's not in you, so sorry. Well, I'm not sorry. But what I'm trying to say is you must understand the fact that you are a sinner. And I know that I said from the beginning, a lot of this stuff sounds very simple, but it's so true how we tend to forget that we're all sinners. Now, my Bible tells me that if I break the law in one point, I've broken everything. So that tells me from the Word of God that if I lie, I have broken every law that God ever put in His Word. Is that what your Bible tells you? So one thing we've got to get away from, and I'm going to get ahead of myself here, and I'm going to touch on this and we're going to come back in the end and talk a little bit more about it. But I think a lot of the problem is on the level people think their forgiveness is. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. The question this morning, go with me to Mark chapter number 2. The question this morning that I want to bring, first of all, is to understand forgiveness. You know, one thing I've understood about appreciating something, I've really tried to dive into this and why people don't treasure Christ, and they call themselves Christians, they acquaint themselves with church, they acquaint themselves with the Word of God, and yet there's no dearness or no preciousness when they talk about Him. And one of the things I've realized, do you know that I could hand one of you a very rare coin, and if you don't have a good understanding of the value of it, you're not going to appreciate it. And a lot of people just don't investigate enough to understand really what it means to be forgiven. I just don't understand. People talk about, yeah, my sins are washed away, and they're like, no big deal. But if I handed you $1 million this morning, you would go nuts. Let me tell you something this morning. Forgiveness of sins is worth more than you taking every single amount of money on this earth and putting it all together. It is not worth trading the forgiveness of sins for. Amen. Yet we act as if it's... Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Everybody with me this morning? All right. Verse number 1 says, "And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" The first thing that I want you to see this morning is you must understand the fact that there is only one person who can truly forgive your sin. You say, why is that important? Do you realize if you say you had a talent that nobody else had? He had an ability. Say Brother Alex had an ability that nobody else had. How valuable do you think that would be to this whole world? What price could he put on the work that he did if nobody else could do what he did? Right? That's one of the things that makes people valuable. They do things that other people don't do. Right? I know this is simple, but you got to understand it. You must first realize there is no other person that can say you are truly forgiven but God. Even the religious people knew that back in Jesus' day. They knew only God could forgive sins. Right? So because He is the only one, He is the only one who can truly say, I'm forgiven. How valuable does that make Jesus Christ? Because He forgives me through His Son, through the blood of His Son, am I forgiven? Right? There's only one way. God gave us His Son, and through giving us His Son, we have the forgiveness of sins. I don't care who you confess them to on this earth. You can confess your sins to 5,000 people on this earth, but I cannot forgive you for your sins. There's no man in any religion, anywhere in this world, who can forgive you for your sins. Nobody. But I can point you to the one that because of His work on the cross, because He bled and He died. Why did He bleed and die? He paid the price for my sin. His blood covers my sin. And God the Father said, that's enough. I will accept that sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. So when you think about it, you can only get it from Him. How valuable does that make it? Just the fact that God, through Christ, is the only way for you to get forgiveness. How valuable should Christ be to you? If there was only one grocery store left in this world to get food, and we couldn't grow anything else, how valuable would that store be? How close would you live to that store? How often would you visit? I mean, I could ask you question after question. But it revolves in our lives. How precious is Jesus to us? And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but what I'm saying is, He ought to be very valuable to you if He's the only one who can forgive your sin. He ought to be. Amen? He is the only way. You can't be good enough. There's no other way you can get forgiveness. Jesus is the only way. In the book of Revelation, I mentioned last week, as they all looked around and there was nobody that could open the seals of that book. And then He said, I looked as if
One had been a lamb that had been slain. He's the only one. He's the only one who can truly say, Jace, that all the sins you've committed, and I know you're only 11 years old, but you've committed sin, haven't you? So you've broken all the law. But Jesus said, Jace, I loved you. I sent my son to die for you. And his blood covers all of your sin. Is that pretty valuable to you? It ought to be. Amen? Even the religious men knew that God was the only one. They just didn't realize that it was through Jesus. Amen? We're going to see that here in just a minute. Who can forgive sins? It's only God through the blood of Jesus Christ. How do we receive forgiveness? You say, well, if He's the one that provides it, how do I get forgiven? How do I receive forgiveness? I want to take you back to Psalm chapter number 32. I like doing this because most people think that you can only lead somebody to Christ through the New Testament. I know He shows us the New Covenant and everything, but even David knew. Christ is all throughout the Old Testament. You just got to look for Him. Amen? Psalm chapter number 32. David said in verse number 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, that means before he was willing to confess his sin. He said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee. And mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. David very plainly stated how we receive forgiveness from the Lord. How do you receive forgiveness from the Lord? Go to 1 John 1:9 with me. And I know we use this verse a lot of times for people that are saved, and yes, it applies there, but you receive forgiveness from the beginning, and you receive it even after you're saved and you fall on your face. The Bible tells us that a just man falls 7 times and rises again. And this is how he can rise again. That means if you're saved, you're still going to fall on your face. Amen? Amen? When you get saved, it doesn't mean you're going to stop making mistakes now and then and fall on your face and you still have the ability to sin. But the desire inside of you changes, the nature inside of you changes, and you hate sin. Doesn't mean you won't commit it. But look at 1 John 1. Go to verse 5. This then is the message that we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from how much of your sin? How valuable is that? Amen? If we say that we have no sin, for those of you that were struggling this morning, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how much? From all unrighteousness. How do I receive forgiveness of my sin? He said, if we would confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. What does that mean when I confess the Lord Jesus? I confess the fact that I am a sinner. I have sinned. And I am willing to confess those sins to Him because I know He is the only thing that can cover me. Why don't I go to anybody? Why? I'm not going to go down to Walmart and try to find forgiveness. It ain't there. They don't sell it. You say, well, that sounds silly. Yeah, but for some people, that it's almost like they think you can go somewhere else and get... No, the only place you can go is Him. But the way I receive it is I confess my sin before a holy God and I realize that I'm a sinner, and without Him I have no hope in this world. What does He tell me? If we confess our sins, He is faithful. That means He's going to do it every time. Every time I confess my sin. He doesn't get back with me one day and say, well, you're going to have to wait till tomorrow. Somebody's not going to come forward this morning if they're a sinner and they just realize the fact that they need Jesus, and He's not going to say, well, you got to wait two or three more days. No, 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 no. He is faithful. At the moment you're willing to confess your sin, at the moment you have that change of heart and mind toward Him, He is faithful. He's going to do it. And then it says He's just. What does that mean? Do you realize the only individual that has the right to forgive you is the one who creates the law that you broke? That's another reason why God said from the foundation of the world, Jesus already told Him, I'm willing to go. I'm willing to be a sacrifice. That just blows me away. We don't even have enough patience with people here. And the Lord's just like, no, I know. I'll be the sacrifice. I'll be shamed. I'll be a reproach. I'll be nailed to a cross. I'll be mutilated. My body will be just mangled. But I'm doing it so they can be free. The reason He says He's just is because, see, I could come to you this morning and I could say, well, you're forgiven. But again, that's not going to mean anything because I didn't create the law. God created this world and He created the law for Adam and Eve. Even before the Ten Commandments were there, He put a law in there, and we told you about, He said, there's one tree, don't eat of it, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, don't eat of it. They broke the law. They broke God's law. And an innocent lamb had to be slain even then to cover them. Innocent blood was shed from the very beginning for the remission of sins. He showed that picture all the way through the Old Testament. But the reason it says He's just, He's faithful, He will do it every time, but He's just when He says, when He takes His pen. See, let me give you this analogy. Say you owe DP&L $1,000. Dayton Power and Light, if y'all don't know. So a lot of y'all probably on Duke Power or somebody. But say you owe that company $1,000. You could run down to Duke Power and try to get them to say that your bill is okay. Well, you don't owe them. You owe DP&L. I know this sounds maybe silly to you, but the only place you're going to ever get, when DP&L finally receives payment and they put the stamp paid in full on that bill, that is at the only time legally that bill has been dissolved. Right? Nobody else has the right. You could take it to Duke and they could put a stamp on it, but legally going to court, that's not going to hold up because the bill hadn't been paid. He's just because He's the only one that can legally. And to some of you, this may not make sense, but even in the spiritual realm, He does everything proper and in order. And legally, He has the right and the power to say, forgiven. Forever. There you go. He is the only one that has the power, the legal right, the authority, who has paid the debt. And He can say, forgiven.
forever. So how do I receive it? You've got to confess that you've just got to realize who you are without Christ. Amen? What does that mean? What does that mean? When I am forgiven, what does that mean? What does it truly mean? Go with me to Isaiah. Again, I want to read you something here. Isaiah chapter number 1. Everybody still with me this morning? Isaiah chapter 1. Go to verse number 18. He says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." What does that mean? What is being forgiven mean in a spiritual realm? The Lord has put before us, and there's many pictures we could use, but He uses the picture. He said, "Though your sins be as scarlet," that word scarlet it's like the deepest red. The deepest red that you can ever see. I mean, it's a deep red color. He said, also, though they be as crimson, that same again, that there's a great distinction there of what that looks like. But He uses two things. He says, though they be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. We saw a little bit of that this week. There is nothing. You walk out in the snow, and I'm telling you what, it's almost blinding. Just the brightness and the whiteness of the snow. You can have snow blown up against a white house, and that white house will look gray and yellow and dim because how white the snow is. He says, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. There's something about a white sheep right after it's been cleaned, that, you know, especially a young one, just how white that wool, beautiful that wool is. You say, well, what does it mean to be forgiven? What does it mean? And I'm not going to try to tell you that I can take what forgiveness means this morning and pack it into 5 minutes and it be everything about being forgiven. But I just want to help you with the picture of what it means. Okay, again, I always look at the fact of if I don't have, in the absence of something, I always find the value of something. When people lose something, they normally realize what they had. But the sad thing is we don't realize it while we have it. Does that make sense? So a lot of times the way to look at things and how to value them is to take it away, and then you realize how valuable it is. Well, if I wasn't forgiven today, okay, if I didn't have the opportunity to be forgiven today because of the laws that were created by God the Father, and let's say Christ did not pay for my sin and give me a way for forgiveness, what that means is because I'm a sinner, I will live in my sin while on earth. I will face the consequences of my sin while on earth. Because remember, if Christ is not here, there's no grace, there's no mercy, there's none of that. You can't add anything. If you're trying to understand, no, if without Christ, I'm going to face my sin. He said it was, if I lived in myself, I'm going to reap corruption. I'm going to live in this life, and I'm just going to reap the corruption of my sin. And then after I die, I'm going to face eternity and live in an eternity in a place prepared only for the devil and his angels. In a place of torment, torture, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So when I look at it that way, you know what?
It bothers me just to think about that for about that long. If I truly didn't have Christ, where I would really be in eternity. But I'm telling you what, I don't have to think about that very long, because I have peace and comfort and joy, and I've got the truth of the Word of God. He told me. He told me that if I accept the gift of His salvation, He said, I would have the righteousness of Christ. You want to know how white your sheet's going to be? Look at Jesus. He lived a sinless, perfect, spotless life. And you know what He did? He took His righteousness. Oh, man. He saw me in my state of crimson, bloody mess of a man in sin. And He traded. He became sin. He took my sin. And that's why you see the picture on the cross. He took my sin, put it on the cross, and He took His righteousness and He put it over me. And when the Father looks at me, He don't see me in my state of sinfulness. He said, they shall be as white as snow. Being forgiven means when I stand before God, Kayla, it's as if I had never sinned in the first place. In the eyes of God, I have the righteousness of His Son. See, you don't get it. You don't understand that value. You just, people, I mean, I know it's hard to wrap your head around, but Jesus traded His righteousness and took upon Him the sin of this whole world. That's valuable to me. For Him to take all of my sin and place it upon Him and say, I'll take His place. I'll become sin for every man so that they can have forgiveness. And He said, all you got to do is come and confess and you'll be forgiven. That's all it is. It's simple. It's not very difficult. It's not mysterious. He made it so even a little child, and I'm thankful for these little children that have come already at a young age and saying, Lord, I need to be saved. I know that I'm a sinner in the eyes of God. Forgiveness, what does that mean? It means that no reason of my own, but only through the love and the grace and mercy of God, through His Son Jesus, today I can stand knowing who I am. But I can sit at His table every day. I can read His Word. I can call Him Father. I am His Son. His mercy never ends. I have the same inheritance. We're going to talk about that as His Son Jesus. I am joint heirs with Christ. Because He said I could be forgiven. He paid the price for my forgiveness. That means all the sins that I've ever committed, the consequences of those sins fell on Jesus and not on me. That's why David said, blessed is he on whose sin is not. You're blessed this morning if you're not standing under the weight of your sin because of Christ. Go with me one more place and I'll be done. Luke chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7. Young people, I hope when you sing that little song, like we did this morning for Sunday school, Jesus loves me, this I know, I hope that brings a whole new meaning. None of us should ever be able to sing that song without it just gripping our hearts. We sing that song, yes, we get familiar with it, but let me tell you something. He loved me enough to become sin for me so that I could stand here today. Nothing that I've done. I am what I am by the grace of God. Today you can be forgiven. Luke chapter number 7, look down at verse number 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Now the Lord is going to preach a very pointed message right here. Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? He said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. What was the message Jesus was preaching to this Pharisee? See, the Pharisees were still following after the law. The Pharisees thought that they just had to do all the things and keep the law. And he had tried to tell them before, you can't keep the law. It's impossible for a man to keep the law. There's only one person that kept the law and fulfilled it, and that was Jesus. But he gave him this little parable and he said, there was a creditor that had two debtors. One owed him 500, one owed him 50. Which one do you think loved him more? See, a lot of people mistake this story. Jesus is a lot smarter than what a lot of people want to give him credit for. Because a lot of people think that there's a level of sinners in this world. But the same one who said, if you break one point of the law, you've broken all of it, basically said, if you have sinned, you are a sinner. Jesus was not trying to say that all of us sinners have different debts. See, that's where everybody struggles. Everybody struggles, I believe, with the fact that, well, there's different levels of bad people.
Well, I would have to agree. We would put people on a different level because of the severity of sin. But Jesus, that's why he kept going back to the Pharisees and saying, yeah, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. In my book. Is that what Jesus said? John told me, he said, how can you say you love God and hate your brother? Or how can you not love your brother and say you love God because you haven't seen God? Right? What he was trying to say is, the law that you're trying to live by, my law is much higher. Right? What Jesus was trying to get across to this Pharisee was this. See, that Pharisee didn't think he was that bad of a person. It's just like when the Pharisee went into the temple and he prayed, Lord, I thank you that I'm not as these other men are. You remember that story? And then the publican came in the back door beating himself, saying, God, forgive me. He didn't even think himself worthy to even come through the door. Right? Who went home forgiven? What did Jesus tell us? Who went home forgiven? The publican or the man that came up front? Who went home forgiven in this story? The sinner woman. That Pharisee didn't get his sins forgiven that day. Why? Jesus preached him a pointed message. And said, you know what? You're the one sitting here thinking you've only got this much debt. She's acting upon the fact she realizes she's got this much debt. Now, I'm not saying your salvation's based upon actions. But I will say this. I believe one of the things is I'm praying and asking God, Lord, I want to see people moved by the love of God. Here's the problem. There's a lot of people, and I'm not looking outside the windows. I'm talking in this building right here. There's a lot of people who have been living since your salvation. I'm not doubting that you got saved, but you've been living in a state of mind thinking that you weren't really that bad of a person. That's why you're not washing his feet. That's why you're not serving him from the moment you've seen him. See, Jesus based it upon the Pharisees' actions after the fact of the amount of his forgiveness. That's the problem with a lot of Christians today. Why aren't Christians serving? I ask the Lord, Lord, what do we need to do? What do we need to say to get people just, I mean, to just react on the love that he showed us? Amen. And he led me back to this story and he said, they just don't think I forgave them for very much. That's the truth. We're not washing his feet. We're not wiping his feet with our tears. We're not broken over who we were because we really don't think we were that bad. But in the same book, it tells me if I've broken one, I've broken them all. He used this lady who was known to be a sinner. He allowed her to come in and show. See, this disturbs a lot of people too. He allowed this woman to show her appreciation. See, the whole reason she came is because she had heard the message of Jesus' forgiveness. She had heard, I believe, John the Baptist say, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the whole world." She knew she had been a mess. She knew she was a sinner. The problem with us today is we come to Him and we still feel as if, well, there's a whole lot of worse people out there that, you know. Amen? Why don't we serve Him like we ought to? Because you don't value what He did. You don't realize the shape you were in, spiritually speaking, especially when Jesus found you. Like I said before, we go back to the first generational Christians just in this building. You look back over your family, nobody knew, nobody had accepted Christ. But God chose. You heard the Word of God. You were saved by the grace of God. Yeah, I've said this many times. Yeah, I grew up in a pastor's home. Yeah, I did. But I was still as rotten and low down as anybody.
I had to realize that when I was 7 years old. I had sinned against God and I knew my eternity was doomed without Him. And every day, just for a moment, I will try to think of what my life would be without Christ. And I'm telling you this, it motivates me to do everything I can to serve Him. Amen? If you do that in your life, I believe it can affect more than just your relationship with Christ. Amen? But this morning we're talking about forgiveness. Let me just ask you this morning, are you the type of person that looks around and says, well, that person ought to be doing more because the Lord really forgave him for more. He was rotten. His life was a mess. We're all sinners. Amen? The Lord is not looking across us saying, yeah, he's a white one, he's a gray one, he's a yellow one, he's a... No. He said crimson, scarlet. Same color. Right? He looked at all of us. We were sinful. Sin was all over us. And He paid the price so that you could be forgiven. The question today is, first of all, have you been forgiven? Have you received Him? Have you confessed in your heart your sin and know that you're a sinner? Have you confessed the fact that you know without Him, without His gift, you're going to be doomed for eternity? Do you know Him today? That's question number one. Question number two is, Christians, I know because it's evident, and I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm just trying to tell you the truth. It is evident in the lives of Christians today. We do not understand how valuable that forgiveness is because we're not washing His feet like we ought to. We're not serving Him like we ought to. And He said in those verses that her love was based upon the amount she had been forgiven. And the problem is not with the actual amount that we were forgiven. We were forgiven everything. We're a mess. We had the capabilities of doing anything and everything anybody else could have ever done. See, that's the problem still. Some of you are still sitting there like, I really wasn't that bad. Sin is sin. This morning, what does forgiveness mean to you? What does forgiveness mean to you? The treasures of Christ. You've got to understand forgiveness. You've got to understand it. It will change your life. It will change how you serve Christ. It will change how you serve others. And we may step into a little bit of how next week, before we move on to the next thought, and because He forgave us, the blessing that we now have in order to be able to forgive other people. Amen? And how that affects even how He forgives us after we're His children. I mean, it just... But you've got to see, you've got to understand how important is His forgiveness to you. It will show in your service to Him. Father, we love You and thank You for this time. I pray that You'd be with us in this time, Lord, as You speak to hearts. Lord, I pray that Your Word has penetrated the hearts of people today. Lord, I know You've spoken to me. I know it just sounds so feeble to just say thank You. But I pray that our lives say thank You every day.